With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Manchester Football Social.
Hello, welcome to a very special Manchester Football Social, almost a mini Manchester Football Social, because I'm Niall McCorn, and alongside me on the other side of the studio for the next maybe 10 or 15 minutes is Joe McGrath, who does our full-time Devils show, as well as the Wednesday. He's just Mr. Football Social, Joe McGrath.
Can't get rid of me like a bad smell.
Yeah, I tell you what, you are absolutely buzzing. You're
I
smiling from ear to ear because you've just met two of your childhood heroes over at Hotel Football. Mr. Gary Neville and Mr. Ryan Giggs. What was that like?
It was good because I knew that it was happening. So I knew that we were going to go to Hotel Football as this conference. And, you know, in the morning you wake up, you know you're going to have this big interview. And I prepared it on the Sunday. I'd written everything and I was calm. I walked into Hotel Football, was calm. Got myself a coffee. They put on a bit of breakfast for us, didn't they, Niall? Lovely little bit of croissant with ham and cheese in the middle.
Nice,
I was like,
little smoked salmon and cream cheese bagel.
Delicious. And I was like, this
top
is
end stuff here.
Exactly. They come in to the press conference and it was then, then that the nerves kicked in. Then that my legs were shaking. I was meters away from two people that I've watched play football for the last, since I was a kid. They were the heroes of mine. They were the steady hand on the tiller for so many years. And then just to be a meter from them and knowing that you're going to speak to them in a one-on-one capacity was freaking me out. And you know, I just lost it. I was shaking. I was like, oh, God.
You felt the true meaning of squeaky bum time for a few seconds there.
Really, really did.
But we're a similar age, aren't we? And you've been a United fan pretty much your whole life.
Yeah.
But for our generation, Giggs, Neville, Scholes, Beckham, the class of 92, that's as big as it gets as a United fan.
Yeah, it does. And it's weird. I'm going to use something. I'm going to talk about something you probably didn't think I was going to ping up. But you know, the TV show Friends, right?
Yeah.
There's something about them six people being in every episode and people, you know, they gave their lives to these people and watching them and watching how their stories grow. When I was a kid, I had the same sort of heroes that were going to be in United's team week in, week out. And I followed them for how many series do you want to say? Followed them for like 10 years all the way up to, you know, the highlight for me was when we won in 2008 the Champions League. But you knew every single week as a kid that you were going to watch Gary Neville, you were going to watch Ryan Giggs, Paul Scholes be on that pitch for United, and you were going to be reassured by their presence on the pitch that they were going to go out there and do a job. It's not really like that at the minute in football in general. You never really have that same regular hold of players that will be with the club for 5 or 6 years, 7 years, 8 years.
The longevity is not
the longevity
same.
So as people gave their lives to these characters and Friends, I gave my footballing life to Ryan Giggs, to Gary Neville. They were my heroes, my idols. And when they left, even Ryan Giggs, when he did have that stint as Manchester United manager, you still felt like, oh, it was he was coming back. You still felt his presence was needed. However way you look at that four-game stint, well, he was in charge of Manchester United. But to see them in front of me today, and we had a chat about him. It was mainly hotel-based chat.
So, yeah, we were over at Hotel Football, obviously, which is a venture which Gary Neville and Ryan Giggs are involved with, along with Cafe Football and the National Football Museum. But they've joined Tribute Portfolio, which is kind of like an independent chain of boutique hotels, and Hotel Football's become a part of that, as well as being a part of Marriott Bonvoy. So business-wise, it's a big move for them. But it was great to go and chat to them, because Hotel Football, it's a hell of a gaff, isn't it? With the view and the food that they've got there, and just the general feeling about the place. And talking to them about how that has kind of affected them post-football was really interesting, I thought.
And you can see how they are quite proud of it.
Yeah.
They are proud of the establishment. They are proud of what they've built. When you were, people were asking them questions and they were so eloquently talking about this structure that they've built that's just in the heart of where Manchester United, obviously just across the road from the actual stadium of Old Trafford. And they said, many, many occasions, they said this throughout the press conference, just to let us know that they just eat there, they stay there. Them themselves are just happy to be
place
in that
of comfort,
location.
Isn't it? Yeah.
So we were really treated well. Other staff, which they did praise Ryan Giggs and Gary Neville multiple times, were just lovely to us.
Yeah.
And you can see how that brand could, is what they talked about in the press conference, go to other cities.
Mm.
We tried to have a bit of a niggle, didn't we, about where the next one could be.
We wanted to find out whether they were going to build one near maybe like Stamford Bridge or the Etihad even.
That
or
was
maybe
one
even
question
Anfield,
we thought of,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine a hotel football in Anfield? I don't think it'd go down too well. But a really good chat. And then we got some one-on-one time with them. And that was just me sort of asking them questions about the venture with the Marriott Hotel Football. And then I got some cheeky ones in about football as well at the end.
Ryan Giggs and Gary Neville were here at the wonderful press conference for Hotel Football. It's a very exciting time. You've just joined the Marriott. For you, when you were footballers, every single week you had a game to motivate you. You had something to get up in the morning to drive you. Is it something like this press conference here, that still gives you that motivation, that ambition to make things just Hotel Football up there on the world stage?
Definitely, I think it's exciting for us. You know, we started the hotel 4 years ago, and the way that we've seen it evolve, you know, I mentioned in the press conference how much we enjoy being here, and then now, you know, someone like Marriott Bonvoy partnering with them is exciting for us, because we see development. And you know, you talk about getting up and motivated as footballers, well, it's the same in our business aspect as well. You know, we want to improve, we want to get better, we don't think that we know everything.
Yeah.
We're learning a lot the way, but you know, we want to become the best, just like we were as footballers.
So I'm a Mag lad, and obviously the football, I'm a United fan, let's get out of there. Football only comes around like, what, 30, like you say, 30 days. Is there anything you're going to work with Manchester in tourist boards or anything like that to make more attractive stuff come to the city? So like when the football isn't on, people might stay here if they want to go watch a gig, or just stuff like that can make Manchester, when people look at where they want to go for the city breaks, they think, we'll come here for the city and we'll stay at Hotel Football.
Yeah, Manchester does work along with Salford and Trafford very hard in terms of trying to bring events to the city. Think of all the music events, the sporting events outside of obviously the football, City United, that go on. It's absolutely incredible. And you think about the sort of festivals, the markets, the international festival, the Christmas markets, all these things bring tourists to the city. It's not something that you can do individually on your own as a hotel. It's something that, to be fair, people are working daily on in the city councils and boroughs, and we obviously have close discussions with them. They're always discussing it with the hotel partners about what the guests want, what the experience needs to be. We think we're delighted with our experience. We obviously don't have a city centre location with Hotel Football, but we have a location that's, you know, within a mile of the city centre.
Tram stops and stuff.
It's a great location. The tram stop now literally is 100 yards from where we are. We've obviously got Manchester United here. We've got the Trafford Centre sort of a mile one way. We've got the city centre a mile the other. We've got Media City and obviously the sort of Lowry outlets a mile that way. We literally are central to what is going to be a hub of activity, and you can see the city spreading out from Manchester
it
is bit by bit spreading out towards Trafford, towards Salford, and I think it'll all become one, to be honest with you, like London in the next few years, and everything will sort of merge together. And I know that the councils do work very closely together, and we want to be obviously a bigger part of that as we possibly can, understanding that we're a very small part of the hotel market in Manchester.
For the Marriott partnership then, you talk about this incredible database they've got of people who will want to visit Manchester all around the world. Will it be something you look back on in a year's time when you go down, has this been a success? Will you look at where people have come from, America and Asia, and we go, actually, you know, this has been such a perfect partnership for us?
Yeah, I mean, we're going into the unknown, really. I mean, there could be an uplift after a week, could be like after a month, could be after 6 months, but I think there will be an uplift because of the pull that Marriott Bonvoy have. But like I said before, you know, we won't just, if there is a massive uplift, then we won't stop, we'll carry on. If there's not a massive uplift, then we'll keep working on why. So, you know, we're constantly, like I said, learning on the job. But, you know, we are determined, and Gary said in the press conference, you know, the team that we've got support the staff. And I think in any business, if your staff are happy, then you're going to do well. And obviously customer service as well. We get so much repeated business.
Yeah.
You know, and not just football fans. You know, we talked about Media City, you know, Lancashire Cricket Club, the close proximity to the city that we are. And Manchester is a great city, you know, and we want people to come and enjoy everything that Manchester offers. And, you know, we're not in the city centre, but we're not too far away.
You as footballers going through the youth academy for United, I suppose then when you start going into the first team, you travel around the world. Were there ever a hotel where you can imagine or remember where you walked in and was like, wow, we're staying here for the first team? Something that just blew your mind. Because I love that, walking into a good hotel and going, look at this, we're staying here.
For the first couple of years, it was every hotel we went in. We'd never stayed at anything like it. I mean, I remember my first game I was ever in the squad for was a game against Torpedo Moscow here at Old Trafford, and we met up at, I think, at Old Trafford about 11:30 and went into the Midland Hotel in Manchester and stayed there, and thinking, oh my, this is like out of this world. I mean, obviously, just think, this huge building, I've never stayed in a hotel like it in my life before. So no, I think that for the first few years, and then there have been some outstanding hotels. We were very lucky to have, with England, Wales and United, had incredible experience, because to be fair the standards are high when you're talking about where Manchester United stay. They stay at the best hotels available in that city that we're going to, or sometimes compromised by location because it wants to be nearer ground, but generally the hotel standards are fantastic. I think that was one of the things that why we wanted to get into this, because of our experiences travelling around. One of our great frustrations was, to be fair, the idea of being, you know, the idea of having been charged for the Wi-Fi, or, you know, charged extortionate prices for the minibar. And that's why we brought into this brand.
No minibar when you were playing, though.
No, but I measure a hotel by a few things, to be honest with you. The food, the minibar, and the comfort of the bed. And obviously it's got to be clean. So we think we deliver on all those four key things, and the Wi-Fi's got to be strong. So for me, that is the core elements of a hotel experience, and we think that in this particular hotel we do that really well.
You can tell we've got young kids, can't you? Wi-Fi's very important. That's what they ask for. Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi, food, minibar and bed, and clean.
Were you roommates when you went to hotels?
I roomed with Phil. I roomed with Bex initially, but then with Phil, because we were compatible in sleeping. You roomed with...
I was a disaster. Paul Ince, who liked to stay up late and get up late, and I was the complete opposite. And then Nicky a few times, which was also a nightmare because he don't...
No snorers?
No.
Andy Cole on you for a long time.
Yeah, Coley for a bit, yeah.
Ollie, over across the road now, taking charge. You look at Manchester United, and there's that positive atmosphere. Does that ever creep in with the hotel? Because obviously, after a negative result, I can imagine... The hotel guests are a bit like, oh.
Absolutely. I mean, look, kickoff timings are important in terms of whether the hotel's busy pre-match or post-match, but the result and the mood has a massive impact in terms of whether fans want to come back and feel like a drink after, whether they come back and feel like they want to eat, or they just want to think, no, I want to go home, I haven't enough. And we've seen that for the last 3-4 years, that the mood of the fans is... paramount to how well the hotel does on a match day. People think the hotel does incredibly well on a match day. We're probably, like I think Winston mentioned it in the press conference, we're 80% occupancy on non-match days. So we're successful during the non-match days as well. But obviously, in terms of the fans, they're certainly a lot happier after, even yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, they were really happy yesterday. The atmosphere was outstanding yesterday, and they all came back happy, even though it was 0-0.
I'm not going to ask if Ollie should get the job. I wanted to ask, whoever gets the job next season, what should their targets be, realistic targets, for Manchester United next season?
I mean, at Manchester United, the target should always be to try and win the league. But also recognising, being realistic, what we've gone through since Sir Alex, you know, the recruitment hasn't been good enough. And I think the thing with Ollie, I think he will recognise a Manchester United player. So whether he's successful or not, hope he is successful if he gets the job, then I think he'll leave the club, whenever it is, if he does get the job, in a better place, because he'll have Manchester United players at the club. But yeah, I mean, I think everyone recognises, obviously, City, Liverpool are the teams to beat at the moment. Tottenham are obviously strong. But no, the start of the season should always be to try and compete for the Premier League. And we have got a lot of quality at the club. I think still three or four short to be coming competing for the title. But yeah, hopefully we'll get them players in the summer.
You've got a nice team here, and you guys work together. You can always be in contact with each other. With Ollie, do you think it's good that he's got McPhelan there with him and Michael Carrick? So it's not just him, is it? He's got a team. He's got a lovely group of people that he can just go to and throw ideas down and like you guys have here.
It's essential. We don't run this hotel. We come in here and, to be fair, eat here or have the odd meeting here during the week, but we don't run the hotel in any way, shape or form. We don't have any influence over it whatsoever. We, you know, the team do that and have done for 4 years, and without that we haven't got a hotel. The hotel is people based. This is just a building. It's a framework. It could be anything. It could be apartments, it could be an office. It's a hotel, so it needs service, and service hotel is all about service and people and the guests, the staff. If that relationship isn't good, then as owners of this hotel we are finished. So we are absolutely in the hands of the staff here. And what I would say is there are members of staff over the last 4 years. It's quite a transient industry where people leave, but people come back, and that's the great side, is that when people do sometimes leave the hotel to go and try maybe a city centre experience because they want to work in the city centre, they come back within 6 months, 12 months, because they recognise it is quite a real unique atmosphere working here, and we love it for that.
Communication, I want to talk about management. What we saw in the Chelsea game and that bizarre moment with the manager tries to get the goalkeeper off, Kepa having none of it, what did you make of that situation? You'd never do that as a player.
I think, crazy, to be honest with you, in any other business the employee would be sacked.
Yeah.
But this is football, and it's a completely different business. And actually, also, if you just sit back, emotions sometimes run high. You do things which, to be fair, are not normal in football matches. You know, I think back to things that I did sometimes on the football pitch, and I've never hit none in my life. But then I, you know, went to headbutt Steve McManaman on the football pitch in a big game. Why did I do that? I've never done that ever. So you just do things sometimes that let yourself down and sometimes make mistakes in rash situations. And that just probably has to be reflected upon. I think if you're a player in the dressing room, you're pulling him in line if you've got a strong dressing room. I think if you're a manager, you probably want to discipline him to the highest level. I think if you're an owner, you've got to say financially and economically, it isn't going to work to sack him because we're going to lose £70 million. So you're in a situation whereby you've got these sort of morals and principles and values pulling people. Say, oh, what would Sir Alex do? Well, Sir Alex had complete control of the football club. Sir Alex was in a completely different era and situation. It's not as easy just saying, oh, he should be this or he should be that. And players, to be fair, I've made mistakes myself as a player, but it was an awful situation to watch from an ex-professional's point of view, a coach's point of view. It's the worst case scenario because Sarri's an experienced coach on the touchline. I had a scenario in Valencia, and I was thinking about that yesterday, where I wanted to make a substitution. One of my centre-backs was coming off, and I went to make another. I was about to bring Negredo on, who was a centre forward, and I went to change it to bring a fullback on, to bring a defender on to replace my centre back who was going off, and the fans just went absolutely wild. I mean, I'd lost the crowd. They went absolutely mad, and I remember the staff on the bench thinking, you're gonna have to put Negredo on. And I went, yeah, but we need a defender on. But this crowd will just, you'll be out of here in 10 minutes. And in the end, you look back upon that as an experience and think, I wish I'd just put the defender on and took the hit, because I was going to take the hit anyway and don't want to want it. But then you end up putting the grade one, which is what the fans wanted, but then you look weak and you're dead. So, I mean, now it was right near the end, that in the last couple of games. It was against Atletico Madrid. We were losing 2-0, so we were finished anyway. Yesterday, I had a bit of, it was difficult for Sarri because it's a unique situation. You just don't know how you're going to react on the bench. It's difficult.
Well, that's nearly it for me. I want to say thank you very much for a happy childhood and for today. Hope all goes well. We're doing something with our station, Access Manchester, about the favourite Manchester tune. Clint Boone from the Inspiral Carpets is our drive time. Says thank you. Should come down and do some DJ with him. Have you got a favourite Manchester tune from like the Charlatans, the Stone Roses, Oasis, anything we can put forward as your suggestion?
Phil's gold, man.
Phil's gold. Right,
I'll go This Is The One, because we came out to it at Old Trafford for many years.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So there we go. Nice little chat there with Giggsy and Nev.
It was good. So I don't know, this story might have diluted a bit by now, but we are just coming off the back of keeper not come off the pitch.
Oh, the Chelsea goalkeeper. Yes. Aretha Blager. Yeah, yeah.
And you listen to what Neville said there about his own personal experiences of when he needed to take a playoff when he was in charge of Valencia, but the crowd were on his back. You know, you don't really see the manager's side of things sometimes. No. You kind of relate more to the player. Yeah, but yeah. I feel like last night, and even Gary Neville's words there, all right, you know, have a thought for the manager. But normally don't, because normally they are so powerful and so, this is my team. And I think that, you know, I do believe Gary Neville, even though he wasn't successful in Valencia, time might be able to bring Gary Neville some success somewhere as a manager. You see him speak, you see his intelligence, and you see his ability to want to prove himself. I was looking at him thinking, you know, one day he could be, you know, a manager somewhere else.
We've come to know him in recent years as an excellent TV pundit. But as a player, I think he was criminally underrated at times, Gary Neville. So, yeah. I mean, he's just Mr. Consistent. So as a Manchester United fan like you are, I mean, if there's like two moments you could pick, one for each that you remember from Gary Neville or Ryan Giggs. Obviously, Giggsy's the famous shirt off with the hairy chest.
But, I've got another goal against Arsenal that Giggs scored, and it was in the FA Cup semi-final, but I think the year might be 2004 or 5. And it was a pass back from Paul Scholes in the box. Now, Paul Scholes makes this nice little run in. He gets the ball, 6-yard box, and he's just to the wide of the goal. So he squares it to Giggs. And this is in the dying moments of the game. It is 0-0. And Ryan Giggs in the semi-finals pops it in the back of the net. And United go through. Now, I remember watching it as a kid. I think I used to play basketball as a kid. And we went to the bar afterwards. And my dad was watching it with me. And that goal going in, I was so buzzing because the game was going on and I really thought we were going to get beat. But then just to see that link up between Scholes and Giggs, getting the ball in the back of the net. You know, I was young then. I didn't see the Ryan Giggs wonder goal against Arsenal. That was my wonder goal, a simple tapping.
Do you know what? I'm not a United fan, but I remember, I think, was it his last goal?
His last goal.
Classic Giggsy, just inside the box, slots it nicely into the corner. Doesn't bother running off celebrating because he knows he's a bit old. He gets on the yoga in the mornings, doesn't
he,
Giggsy?
He loves
but
it.
But just the longevity of the guy, like we were saying. I mean, the fact that he kept himself going till into his late 30s, now he's a manager and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Neville, the passion of the man. Like, I remember against Liverpool that
time.
Yeah,
that was
going to
be my
screaming.
One. Screaming, the kissing of the badge. And you just saw what it meant. You know, these, when you look at football now and you say the love of the game is dying, it's all about the money. He was one person who would just, if he was still playing now, would still have that passion, kissing that badge. He knew how much it meant, just not to him, but to everyone who was in that ground as well. He really, really does understand what it's like to be a football fan. You know what I mean? No matter what club it was, if he supported, let's say Portsmouth, and that goal was against Southampton, he'd have still been as passionate as that. When he said then as well during the interview that when the results weren't going United's way and United were getting beat at Old Trafford or even a draw against a lower side team, you know, people weren't enjoying themselves because they were naturally in a bad mood. So he said the bar would be quite quiet. He said people wouldn't eat. They would just go to bed and sleep. And so you've got to think, when you look at United on the pitch, it affects quite a lot of things. It affects people's moods. It affects Gary Neville and Ryan Giggs' hotel, if they sell more booze or not afterwards. And that.
You see Nev talking about it. He cares about a free minibar.
He was buzzing about the Wi-Fi as well.
Oh, goodness me. He
never stops going on about how good the Wi-Fi was in the minibar. I was like, all right, fair enough. But if you didn't grasp it, the minibar is free at Hotel Football.
Ryan Giggs and Gary Neville, two absolute legends. So he's going to be buzzing for the next 2 weeks.
Indeed.
Who's next on your list, Joe? Come on, man. You're ticking them off at a rate
of
knots.
I'd love
here.
To interview Paul Scholes. So now Scholes he's in it. Charge of holding, but I bet.
Oh, big chance of that. You should have come to the press conference the other week.
No, but because I'd like to just have a chat with him. I can imagine now he's 100% old and focused.
100%, yeah.
So I couldn't even sneak in a United question. So maybe, you know, down the line, a couple of years' time, if he's still at Oldham, I get a one-on-one with him and be a bit cheeky with the questions.
Well, here we go. I hope you enjoyed this mini episode of the Manchester Football Social. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you find your podcasts. Well, I've been Niall. That's been Joe. Speak to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.